across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, June 22nd. It is World Rainforest Day, but it's also National Kissing Day. So there's your hashtag today, National Kissing Day. And my very astute research has found absolutely no tie-in to June 22nd. I don't know why today is National Kissing Day, but if you go search for the hashtag, you will find lots of people kissing their pets, people kissing their sports trophies, but also TV and movie clips with great kisses. And so it makes me wonder, and now I admit I got to do a little homework on this, and I'm springing it on you two, but one or two of your favorite kisses from movies or TV. When I tell you big kissing moments, does anything come to mind? And I'll, while you think about it, I'll share my first thing that immediately came to mind. Friends, season two, when Rachel sees the video of how Ross was all set to stand in as her prom date, but then he got stood up and she gets up from the couch and walks over to him standing by the door and plants one on him right there. And that was a pretty cool moment. Others to consider would be the one in Princess Bride. There was the Kirsten Dunst, Tobey Maguire one in Spider-Man.
Upside Down.
The Upside Down, yeah. Mm-hmm. And The Notebook was mentioned as well. I've never seen it. My daughters have seen it 1,000 times, but apparently there's a really good kiss in there. So with those as a lead-in, what do you got for National Kissing Day?
Well, I absolutely agree with Spider-Man. And also, there's one that isn't a kissing scene, but it's related to kissing. In the show Pretty Little Liars, there's a video of the main character's best friend who is missing or dead or whatever, they don't really know. And they keep getting parts of this video sent to them by the person who's messing with them. And at the end of it, that friend, Allison, just says, "You know you want to kiss me." And they play that stupid little clip so many times that it's etched into my mind.
Now, that just makes me think of Sandra Bullock in, what's the one where she's the FBI agent? Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Again, one of those things we've watched 1,000 times here. And she's saying, you know, to the one character, "You want to kiss me.
You I want know to you hug like me. Me.
I know you want to date me." Yeah. Some matter with us. All right, Kristen. Kristen Lyerly's here too. I've given you plenty of time. You got a kissing scene that.
You know, it makes me think of the time that I made a poor choice for family movie night and had the boys watch The Notebook with me. Oh. And when it was over, they were like, "That was the worst movie I've ever seen." They were disgusted. There was too much kissing.
See, because of too much kissing? Okay.
Too much kissing. It was too, like, gushy.
Ew. See, and I will probably not see it now just because my wife and daughters have such a high opinion of it. You know, once the bar is set that high, you know, if I come back and don't say it's the greatest movie ever, then I'm a terrible person. So I'm just going to let them enjoy it and have their moment here. You can share your favorite kisses with us as well, 844-967-2789, while I tell you that Dr. Lyerly will also have Hometown Health with us at the bottom of the hour with State Representative Lisa Subek, and we'll tell you more about that in a bit. But if you missed our last hour, we had Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki on with a simple message for progressives unhappy with the school funding agreement between Governor Tony Evers and legislative Republicans. His message was, take the win. There are many ways that this state budget could have been far worse for schools had they all not helped Tony Evers win re-election. Instead, long overdue, extra help is coming to public education and local governments. And if you want to hear more about that from Joe directly and the rest of our last hour, you can listen back to the show anytime by subscribing to it as a podcast, Apple, Spotify, all the usual places. Or you can go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And I will note as well that the Civic Media app has been new and improved. There, I never get to say that phrase, new and improved. And I was testing out the texting feature on there. And from that app, you can text us directly and we'll see it. Couldn't be easier. And you can call in to the show as well just by tapping something on the app. So go and get yourself that app. Mark from Prairie to Stack is joining us this morning. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, you're just talking about kissing. What that brought to mind, is this a kissing movie? A Princess Bride. Let's remember that little Freddie Savage asked you, is this, asked Peter Falk, is this a kissing movie? And what his grandfather responded to him in that. But I mean, that's the line with the boys talking about what's kissing in there. That's what when you said that, that's
exactly
that was almost to exactly my mind. How it went, Mark.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Mark, thank you. Appreciate that. Here's the quote. I found it from Peter Falk. Since the invention of the kiss, there have been 5 kisses that were rated the most passionate, the most pure. This one left them all behind.
Right. I remember now.
I don't know if I've ever made any list of top 5 kisses. That's got to be quite a feat. Was Goldie Gopher allowed, the mascot that you played for years? Were you allowed to give little kisses to the fans and kids and things, or were there rules on affection?
There were air kisses, but Goldie just had those big teeth, so nobody wants to be kissed by the teeth.
Yeah, I feel like it'd just be like a headbutt.
No, I was gonna say that's more than I thought. Maybe you'd get a hickey, but you'd actually get decapitated if something like that happened. All right, let's take a break. We'll get our weatherology forecast, a little bit of sports, more with Kristen Lyerly, maybe your favorite kisses as well before we do hometown health. That's all coming up. You're up north. Again, Todd Rundgren turning 75 today. The Brewers dropped 2-3 to Arizona, losing 5-1 to the Diamondbacks yesterday. And that means the Brewers are now taking off on a road trip. They are off today. They will be taking on Cleveland for the weekend, then off to Queens to take on the New York Mets, and eventually Pittsburgh. But, first things first, a weekend series with Cleveland is coming up and hoping to get back on track. Time for our weatherology forecast with Jennifer Wojcicki, and I'm sure she is watching. We've had this such a stretch of glorious weather. It's going to last a little longer, and you just kind of watch this front, out to the west and go, what's this going to do to our weekend plans? And since Jennifer's a lot smarter about these things than I am, she's going to tell us. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting forecast here, and it has been actually all week here. I mean, really not much has happened or really changed in the past several days, and we still have that high pressure system in control here for today. Along with that, there is an air quality alert for the entire state today. Hot temperatures and low humidity combined with that aged Canadian wildfire smoke will lead to unhealthy ozone levels, which people with respiratory issues, children, older adults, and people who are active outdoors are advised to reduce prolonged outdoor activities. So definitely something to keep in mind today. But as I mentioned, that high pressure system still in control today. So much of the same as it has been for the past few days. Sunny skies today, above average with mid 80s to right around about 90 for most. Little cooler once again, but still average for the extreme eastern part of the state. Friday, the same for everyone except for west central Wisconsin, right around about Amory and Baldwin, with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing and a slight chance for showers and storms coming in by the afternoon hours. Saturday, still a chance for rain and storms in west central Wisconsin, but also starting to see that slight chance coming into Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids by Saturday afternoon. Mid to upper 80s in those areas. Sunny skies for southern Wisconsin, mid 80s to low 90s still, with chances for rain showers coming in later that night, primarily in overnight hours. Then a chance for showers and storms across the board for Sunday, with cloudy skies and temperatures starting to drop a little bit as a cold front begins to push through. Mid to lower 80s for southern Wisconsin, Milwaukee over to Madison, which is still slightly above average, slightly at or above average, and then mid to upper 70s from Oshkosh over to Amory.
All right. Appreciate that so much, Jennifer. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow, get the latest on the weatherology forecast. But right now in Green Lake, it is 70 degrees. In Shell Lake, it is 66 degrees. And in Lake Geneva, 63 degrees and 68 beautiful degrees here on Lake Wissota, where, again, Up North News Radio continues with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Aaron Zommers. Before we get, honestly, Dr. Lyerly did come to talk about doctor stuff, but you were, you toured the Liney Lodge recently in Chippewa Falls, and I was, you know, showing off today's coffee mug is from the Liney Lodge. But I was there last weekend, and I'm going to sound like such a rube discovering this, like everybody else has already discovered it, but they were handing out these aluminum cups instead of like a red Solo cup. They're made of aluminum. And keep your beer so much colder. And I also learned keeps your Coke Zero so much colder in the morning. I may never drink out of anything else again now that I've discovered these aluminum cups. This one, of course, branded with the Liney's logo.
I'll be right back. So I'm going to go look up the Liney's Lodge hours.
I've never seen those cups.
Oh, you haven't?
Are they insulated?
Well, they're not insulated. They're just made of aluminum, like a beer can, and you can reuse them. You shouldn't put them through the dishwasher, but if you hand wash them, you can use them over and over again, and then eventually throw it in the recycling bin.
Does it sweat?
Just a little bit, and actually, it feels really good on your fingers that way on a hot day. So, yeah, it's there. You go. There's your advice. Go for the aluminum cups instead of the plastic. There's so many plastic cups out there. Use the aluminum ones instead.
That's very interesting. I've never seen those before.
All right, let's get to work matters here for Dr. Lyerly. And let's start with a bill that passed the legislature, or the assembly rather, yesterday, where birth control could be prescribed and dispensed by pharmacists in the state. The bill had broad bipartisan support. It had drawn some criticism from anti-abortion groups, but it now heads to the Senate. A similar measure stalled there last year. Kristen, what are your thoughts on the bill and having pharmacists be able to prescribe and dispense birth control pills?
I think it also stalled the year before. This is a bill that gets through the assembly, like you said, Pat, with bipartisan support. I've actually worked with Representative Kitchens up here in Door County, who is a Republican. His daughter is helping him spearhead this important legislation that gives women another option to obtain contraception. It's not a perfect bill. It doesn't cover all of the different kinds of contraception that I would like people to be able to get, but it is... it's great for people not to have to go to the doctor and have to jump over that obstacle to be able to get contraception for whatever reason they need it for, whether it's family planning or to control heavy periods or, you know, manage their endometriosis. I would love to see it pass the Senate, but frankly, Pat, I'm not feeling it. I don't know that they have enough support in the Senate to make contraception accessible. And I think the pushback from the anti-abortion groups is really pushback against contraception, not against abortion per se.
This was something that we faced a lot, that I faced in the legislature. Other legislators do. These are so-called scope of practice bills. You know, it's can a chiropractor do this versus a medical doctor? Can a pharmacist do this versus a medical doctor? And quite frequently, it is the MDs, the medical doctors, who are against expanding the scope of practice of people who aren't doctors, but not always. And are you saying that by and large, this is one of those cases where physicians, you feel a majority would support expanding the scope of practice for a pharmacist?
100%. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, which is the largest group of OBGYN doctors, our biggest professional association, we wholeheartedly support this because we know our patients need it. It is the right thing to do. It doesn't protect our practice. It would be better for us if people had to be channeled through us to get their birth control, but it's not about us. It's about our patients. So if it has to be a pharmacist prescribed birth control, great. Ultimately, what we would really like to see is for the FDA to put birth control over the counter. Mm-hmm. It's over the counter in other countries. We know it's safe. We know it works. We know that people use it. So that is the ultimate goal.
And if we could stop fighting about that, we could get onto things that are, I would argue, immeasurably more important than who dispenses contraception. And instead... or contraceptives, I should say, but rather whether people live or die through childbirth. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this in the past, but I just wanted to call attention to a column by Petula Dvorak in the Washington Post that says, America, obsessed with reproduction, is a deadly place to give birth. And she begins America is flipping out over drag queens, rainbow merch, abortion rights, book bans, all allegedly in the name of childhood. Meanwhile, during these past few years of burning hot culture wars, the act of bringing a child into this world has become alarmingly deadlier for American women. She then lays out the statistics and notes that right now, and this is 100% true, having a baby on American soil is more dangerous than having a baby in Kazakhstan, Iran, Uruguay, and several other countries. And that's just not right.
Especially if you're a Black woman, Pat. A Black woman in Wisconsin is 5 times more likely to die associated with her pregnancy than a white woman. That's double the national average. What are we doing wrong?
And that was brought to everybody's attention, especially with the death last month of gold medal Olympian Tori Bowie, found dead in her home in Florida, her baby's head crowning. And you noted that she died, but two of her other Olympic teammates, gold medal winners, nearly died because of complications of pregnancy.
Yeah, that in that team of four, the gold medal winners, the relay team of four people, three of them experienced pregnancy complications. One was life-threatening and one actually killed this healthy young woman. What is it going to take? I mean, I thought maybe when Serena Williams experienced pregnancy complications that were completely preventable, Serena Williams, what a superstar she is. Surely that would move the needle. No, it's just gotten worse since then, to be very honest with you. We have so much work to do.
Now, there are people are looking into, I don't know if you call them the biological and physiological reasons there, but the main point of this conversation are the things that we can control, and that would be the attitudinal barriers, the biases. As noted by one professor in this article, Black women frequently experience disrespect, procedures without consent, rough handling, and most importantly, in my view, I add parenthetically, dismissiveness toward pain from doctors. And that's something I'm sure has come up in conferences and conversations with you about when we talk about institutional racism. People right away, they bristle and they go, you're saying people are racist. No, we're saying that there is a racial imbalance in the institution of healthcare that needs to be addressed, simply must be addressed.
Hey, as OBGYN doctors, we have had to grapple with the fact that much of our history is based in this institutional racism, where we've made a number of medical discoveries because we've experimented on enslaved women. And that's so hard to swallow as a doctor who appreciates where we're at, but recognizes how we got there. And to look at the distrust that underrepresented populations, not just Black folks, but Indigenous folks and other people who have received subpar care because culturally we haven't been able to create those bonds and to really address the things that are bothering them, that are concerns for them. That's where we need to do better. Medical care is not just about checking the boxes. It's not just about getting the lab tests. It's about hearing what people are saying, hearing what your patients are saying, and really being able to address their concerns at the most fundamental levels.
And here are two more terrible examples from this call. 2017, Shalon Irving, an established epidemiologist at the CDC, a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Public Health Service, died of cardiac arrest 3 weeks after giving birth. She had just been to her doctor, who didn't follow up when Irving said she felt ill. And the year before, in 2016, Kira Dixon Johnson, a marathoner, entrepreneur, a recreational pilot who spoke 4 languages, died in Los Angeles after doctors took hours to address her fluid-filled abdomen and blood-filled catheter. These are the examples where we have a healthcare system that is overburdened like never before. I grant that fully, but there has to be better things that can be done to not dismiss people's pain, to get people in before they, you know, have to check all the insurance boxes on a form or what have you. There's just so much room to do better.
we're focusing on all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. If we could just actually get rid of all this culture war stuff and really focus on the true problems, we could make some progress. But we get so caught up in what you said earlier, all the anti-trans and, you know, all of the stuff that's spicy, that we can't start to solve these problems until we can get past that.
Yeah. And it is something that some elected officials in Wisconsin have proposed doing more about and providing better resources so that there can be better care. It's not something that gets talked about a lot because these culture war issues, you know, come up first. But it was definitely worth a few minutes to focus on that, Kristen. So thank you for that. And now let's shift the conversation back to ensuring that all women can obtain, you know, contraceptives and the full range of health care that they deserve. We will be joined by Democratic State Representative Lisa Subek. That's coming up in our Hometown Health segment here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back in just a second.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I just want to make clear, this song is 60 years old by Leslie Gore, but we are going to continue to play it as needed until certain people finally get the message that you don't own other people, you don't own the women in your relationships, you don't own the women of your state or country to control their bodies. And that takes us to Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this time around joined by Representative Lisa Subek, who are going to join us to talk about the Right to Contraception Act, which Dr. Lyerly was at a Capitol press conference yesterday. Senator Dianne Hesselbein is also introducing the bill. Kristen, you want to give a bit of an overview before introducing Representative Subek?
I sure can. So I had the pleasure of hanging out with Representative Subek yesterday, and man, what a day it was to be able to stand there with you and Representative Drake and Senator Hesselbein and all of your Democratic colleagues to say, we're not going to do this anymore. We are protecting the right for people to access and distribute contraceptives. Representative Subek, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So tell us a little bit about this legislation. What is it all about?
Sure. So the Wisconsin Right to Contraception Act would enshrine into law a statutory right to contraception for individuals. And it would also provide a statutory right for health providers to be able to provide contraceptives and contraception-related information. What this means in the most practical terms is that neither the state nor what we call any local subdivision, a city, a town, a village, a county, could pass or enforce a law or a rule that would single out contraception or single out providers of contraception with the intent or with the result of impeding access to contraception. And this has become really important, obviously, as we approach the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. You know, we had nearly 50 years of the right to safe and legal abortion get upended in a, you know, on a whim of an extremist court. And we can't let the same thing happen with contraception. It's been over 60 years since the Griswold decision gave us sort of acknowledged the right to privacy and ensured access to contraception, and that now is at risk. And so our proposal would protect that here in our state.
Is it really at risk? You know, like when I'm talking with people, they're like, but this is birth control. This is contraception. I use this to manage my periods. Like, it's not going to go away. Nobody's going to take my contraception away.
So first off, we heard the same thing about abortion. You know, as we tried year after year, session after session to repeal our state's criminal abortion ban, people said, but their right's not going to go away. Why does it matter? So we're in the same boat now. But I think even more importantly to note is, similarly to abortion, right-wing politicians have gone after birth control before, tried to limit access, and they will do so again. We heard on the assembly floor yesterday while talking about a bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe contraceptives, we heard just crazy stuff about, you know, making people promiscuous and, you know, other such falsehoods from some of our Republican colleagues. And in the Dobbs decision itself, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a dissenting opinion in which he specifically called out the Griswold decision, the decision that guarantees our right to access contraception, and said it is among the decisions that the Supreme Court should revisit. I think right then and there, he put a target on contraception. We need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to protect access, because we know that contraception is good, safe, effective healthcare. And it is also the ability and the freedom to plan your family, to plan your pregnancies, to plan for your future, and really to participate in social and economic life in our country.
There are plenty of people age 60 and up who very specifically remember when they could not get contraceptives, but who also remembered when they could not get their own bank account and all manner of other things. And the rights that came because of the Griswold v. Connecticut decision that granted a right to privacy. And even though Clarence Thomas and others say, well, it doesn't specifically say there's a right to privacy, you know, again, there are a lot of things specifically not mentioned. When you look at the legislative intent, it's clear the American people want their right to privacy, and they want the rights that would be enshrined in this Right to Contraception Act, which I would add as well, was introduced in Congress yesterday as well. Senator Tammy Baldwin and others talked about four bills: the Right to Contraception Act, the Freedom to Travel for Healthcare Act, the Let Doctors Provide Reproductive Healthcare Act, and the Upholding Protections for Health and Online Location Data Privacy Act. And that one especially gets to me, Representative Subek, because we learned about this through the causes that Tim Michaels was supporting before he ran for governor, that there are groups that use location data in cell phones to track women who go into clinics and other things like that. So for folks who might be saying to you, is there really a legislative role for this in women's health? Sounds to me like the answer is you're damn right.
Absolutely. And I wish there wasn't, frankly. Abortion has become a political issue. Birth control has become a political issue. So many of our rights have become these political footballs. And they don't belong in the political frame. Politicians shouldn't be making decisions about our health care. Politicians should not be making decisions about planning our families. Politicians should be working to guarantee, not take away, our freedom. Unfortunately, the right has used this issue as a political wedge and has been all too willing to throw women and families under the bus in an effort to advance their extremist political agenda.
I love everything you just said there. And you're so right. Politicians do not belong in our exam rooms. They do not belong in our operating rooms. Those decisions need to be made by us as people, with the counsel of people that we trust, doctors and nurses and our families and our faith leaders. Those are our own individualized decisions. And, you know, it's so refreshing to hear a politician saying that politicians do not belong here. So thank you. Thank you for recognizing that and fighting for it. Because if we don't fight for it from a political perspective, we're going to continue to get steamrolled the way that we have been ever, really.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think one of the things that we can note about and learn from the issue of abortion and how the right has made it this political wedge is from the moment that Roe was decided, the right wing, and particularly the far right, most extreme religious right wing of their party, decided that this was going to be their issue. They were going to make it an issue in every election. They were going to make it an issue in every debate and every policy discussion until Roe was overturned. And now it's our turn to do the same. We need to say we are going to stand up for our freedom. We are not going to let that let them continue to take that away from us. At every turn, we need to stand up and fight, one, until Dobbs is overturned and we restore abortion rights, But two, we need to continue to protect all of the other rights that we have come to expect and unfortunately take for granted. It's time we stop taking those for granted. We recognize that we are in a fight for our very freedom to make our own decisions about our health, our families, and our futures.
I appreciated how you talked about Clarence Thomas earlier, and I'd just like to point out the hypocrisy as he was talking about the underlying right to privacy as it relates to abortion, but also gay marriage. But he didn't talk about the Loving decision, which is something that personally affects him as he is married to a white woman. And it's so crazy to me that this decision would undermine things that we care about, but the things that he cares about, he protects.
It's the whole liberty for me, but not for thee.
Right.
Sure. And honestly, I mean, Clarence Thomas caring about his own self-interest, gee, I wonder. You know, there's been a little political news around that lately. Now, for what it's worth, the Loving decision is a decision that I certainly also think is worthy of protecting. But that said, I certainly, your point is well taken that justice is turned on its head. It's hard to take the Supreme Court seriously as the institution that it is, that it once was, that it should again be, as long as we have justices who you know, are putting their own self-interests ahead of those of the people who are really political activists more than they are fair and impartial justices.
Yeah, it's a point I was making in the last hour as well. And the whole notion of having to codify these rights has been brought to the forefront because of the Dobbs decision. So it's why Senator Baldwin and others worked so hard and finally recently won that victory to enshrine interracial marriage and same-sex marriage into federal law and not just rely on a Supreme Court decision that could always be repealed, as Roe was. But in a further example of the need to do these things, and this will be new for both of you, but I read this just before the show today, that in Tennessee, Vanderbilt University Medical Center has turned over transgender patient medical records to the Tennessee Attorney General's office, which is looking into billing practices for transgender care services. This kind of direct state political interference, being able to get somebody's medical records, should scare the pants off everybody. And again, look for people like you, Representative Subek, to say that things like this should never happen in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I mean, the story is new to me. I haven't seen the story that you're referring to, but certainly from what you say here, that's a horrifying situation. And we certainly could see parallels. And I think this is why the legislation that Senator Tammy Baldwin and others have introduced around privacy, around electronic privacy and privacy of records really is so important, because this is exactly what folks in places like Texas and other places are trying to do to enforce criminal abortion bans. And frankly, as long as our criminal abortion ban remains on the books here in Wisconsin, we all have to worry about that here as well.
Yeah, and I should say as well that the Republicans who supported this say it's a billing investigation. And of course, we're talking about billing for services for trans patients, but under the guise of a billing investigation, they're now getting these records that should otherwise be private, Kristen.
This is exhausting. Somebody asked me yesterday, why are doctors not fighting more for this? And my answer was, we are so busy taking care of our patients and working with the meager resources that we have that we don't have the energy and the time to take it to the next level and to do the work that Representative Subek and Senator Baldwin are doing. So that's why we have to work together to bring those patient stories forward so that you can do the work on that level, that really where progress needs to be made. So we are so, as a medical community, we are so grateful to you.
Well, thank you. And Kristen, so grateful to you, Dr. Lyerly, I should say, in this context. But truly, I mean, for those of you folks like you who, when you can, when you are, you know, who work long hours caring for patients, sometimes traveling out of state to be able to do that, and are still able to come back and stand with us at a press conference and share your stories from the field, because we can work on the policy side. Your voice is still so critically important, and really appreciate that on top of everything else you do to care for your patients, you're still taking the time to speak out and ensure that your patients have the best access to the best care into the future.
Thank you.
Well, it's all about, again, it's all about the stories. And, you know, for the longest time it was, well, we don't want to get too detailed. You know, there's privacy concerns and, you know, that we're too shy. We don't want to talk to the media. There's no time for that now. It's all about talking, sharing stories, and getting action.
Yes, but wait, remember what happened in Indiana with Caitlin Barnard, who did exactly that and ended up with a big legal mess. Yeah. So it's risky.
It's risky, but so very necessary. Representative Lisa Subak, thank you so much for getting up early and joining us. We appreciate it so much. Have a great day. Thanks for all you
do. Thank you for having me.
All right. When we come back, Mr. Luke Mathers will join us, and we'll wrap up today's conversation next. You're up north.
You got a fast car, and I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere.
All right, Luke Mathers is here, and he's going to defend Luke Combs, who has done this terrible remake of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. And so in order to defend the honor of the Luke name, Luke, for whom free time is a thing of the past because he's so busy at Civic Media, you want to stand up for Luke Combs at all?
I can't. I'm not a huge fan of all these remakes. And I'm not going to say it's a bad rendition.
I'll say it. It doesn't do anything. It's like Weezer remaking Toto's Africa. There's nothing that separates it.
That one's fine. I think Weezer wasn't even really trying. That's a cover. That's not Weezer trying to remake Africa by Toto. Like they were trying to more do a tribute. I feel like
this one, Pat.
With Luke Combs, not necessarily a tribute, seems more like just trying to remake it. Same with Darius Rucker when he does Wagon Wheel. I will turn that version off of Wagon Wheel every single time Medicine Show is the only version of Wagon Wheel that I will listen to.
No, I like Darius's better, I gotta say.
What?
Again, the original, not bad. I like the style that he puts on it. And meanwhile, there's Dr. Lyerly over here saying that I'm not allowed to criticize one Weezer song unless I know the entire catalog of the band and have been to their concert.
They were in Madison last week.
Okay.
You just need to know that Weezer is not serious. And they're
Yeah, clearly. You know,
No, they're fun. They're there for the fun. They're paying tribute to the songs that they cover.
I will say, though, as somebody who is a Weezer fan, I've worn my Weezer shirt on the stream many a time. I don't like that cover either. I feel like all they did was they took Africa, replicated it as closely as they could, and then had the two things they changed are now you have Rivers Cuomo, the lead singer, doing his classic pretending to be a teenager voice, the iconic voice that he has. And then put Weezer drums on it, which just don't fit with the track. So I think that while they're paying tribute to it, it just doesn't sound good, in my opinion.
I'll listen to that one.
It all goes along with the whole Spotify thing where Weezer was played over and over and over again. Like there was a whole social media thing that went along with it.
Yeah, right. there was almost a demand from Weezer fans for them to cover Toto. I don't know if anybody was asking Luke Combs to cover Fast Car.
Nobody. We were asking Luke Mathers to tell us about Town Call, which he now hosts during the noon hour here on Civic Media. For folks that haven't tuned in yet, tell them why they should.
Yeah, they should absolutely be tuning in. Kicking off the noon hour, we got Network News anchored by Terry Bell, our news director here at Civic Media. And then William Walter and I taking over from 12:15 until the end of the noon hour for Town Call, a new take on hometown radio, where we want callers to be the star of the show. So we had an excellent couple of editions of Town Call already this week. William Walter... Little absent from class, though. Lost in the desert for a conference that he had to go to. So Dan Schaefer joined me on Tuesday for an excellent edition of Town Call. We were covering this subject of the child care counts program being left out of the state budget last week. Both Dan and I attending that rally to cover the information by the child care counts and the Early Childhood Education Network that was holding that rally on Tuesday at the Wisconsin Capitol. And then Todd Alba and I and Aaron discussed an excellent topic of the F-35s here in Madison yesterday.
But I'm a little concerned about the fact that you said your co-host has been absent, because that was a running feature, you know, when you were on Dueling Tangents, that you had a partner there that was frequently gone at some point.
It's very traumatic. It's very traumatic.
Is it me?
Matt.
Do I offend?
No, I haven't. Apparently, it was a planned absence, but brought to my attention later in the process last week. But Will's going to be back today. We're going to be joined by Dane County Board Supervisor Annalise Eicher. We'll be talking about.
I love Annalise.
Yeah, the she was having a great time at the Doobie Brothers concert yesterday.
Of course she was, because she's old like me. Well, she's not as old as me, but you know.
She's got a similar taste in music as you, that yacht rock vibe.
She's got the maturity of a senior citizen, and we appreciate that about her. So, yeah, tell her I said hi. So long as we keep doing this, because apparently we are all about to be replaced by politician podcasts, because according to a story this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is launching a podcast of her own. Now, again, before you get too far afield, Lieutenant Governor, there's four boxes on this video screen right now. I will make room for a fifth, or I will just push Luke's box out of the way. So you want to come do that podcast here? It's, you know, the door is open. But in the meantime, yeah, she's launching it, and the first topic is Medicaid expansion and the value that it would bring. Kristen,
I'm gonna do her podcast.
Boy, oh boy.
There you go. And she was the first ever guest on Dueling Tangents when Brian and I launched the show back in 2021. She was the first guest on Dueling Tangents. So very, very glad to hear. I don't take it as a competition.
But Kristen's going
to
be out. How do we even hear words coming out of Kristen's mouth? She's stretched so thin. How does oxygen get into her lungs at this point?
Anything for Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. She's a dynamo. She's a public health nurse. We ran together in 2020. I love her. Whatever she needs, I'm there.
Well, that is awfully gosh darn nice of you.
You too, Pat.
Well, no, you get up early for this show, which I appreciate so much. Luke, we're going to take a caller here. So Town Call, noon hour. Be sure you tune in there. And then when are we going to hear you next? When do we hear you next? The hourly news here?
Yeah, I'll be coming up at 8.
Oh, okay. See, I'm usually back in bed right before the newscast starts. I've got to take a nap at this age. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Gary in Sussex, thanks for hanging on the line. You want to get in? We'll get in one quick word on our abortion discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I understand. I'm a reasonable person, okay? I am very much pro-life. And I understand the enthusiasm you guys have to the fighting this abortion issue that's going on. But, you know, last week there was, I don't think that you guys even seen it, because I'm sure they didn't show it on Lefty News. There was two old men, one 73-year-old and another 80. This guy that's about 6'2" or so, maybe around 200 pounds, goes, and as these guys are praying, they're in the midst of praying, the guy punched him in the face, and the guy's laying on the ground, and then he's stomping on his face.
Okay, hold. I got a minute left, so I want to get to Kristen on any response. Are you saying that anybody can have a view on abortion, but let's not get violent about it? Because we're not going to have an issue there with you, right?
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but they interviewed the people from Planned Parenthood, and when they interviewed them, they said, oh, yes, we're totally against any violence at our clinics. But the fact of the matter is, this guy is not even a local guy. The guy just disappeared. They have a nationwide search for this guy. So, and I'm not saying Planned Parenthood ordered this guy to come in and beat these people up. But
no,
the fact of the matter, because you don't know. Obviously, you don't know. But this guy is from out of town. He came in and beat these guys. These guys have been there for years and years and years.
Okay.
What's your point?
All right, Gary, I appreciate the point. And Kristen, I think we can all agree. Violence is bad.
Absolutely. Let's take care of each other.
We have very passionate and very real points of view, and they should stay at the debate level. Thank you, Kristen. Have a wonderful day.
You too, babe.
Everybody else out there, Have a great Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow.